Hey everybody, good evening. Thank you for coming to learn on this Motzai Tish B'Av. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Vav. We are holding on daf Kuf Mem Hayam and Beis, about 12 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also L'Zechus for Shalema for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding about 12 lines from the end of the page, and we're mamish right in the middle of an Agada to Gemara, where the Gemara was going through four unusual questions that were asked, and there were two sets of answers to the questions. So we had rejected the first set of answers to the question. Rabbi Yochanan, at least, had rejected the first set of answers to the questions, and we're in the middle of him giving his own set of answers to those four questions. So that's the first thing we're going to do, is finish up that Agadita. And then the majority of the daf, starting with the Mishnah, is going to talk about opening kelim on Shabbos, opening barrels on Shabbos. When is it considered to be mekalkel? When is it considered to be a tikkun mana? And when is it considered to be perfectly fine to open different types of kelim on Shabbos? Gemara is going to talk about making a spout by putting a straw in a barrel and whether that's mutter to do on Shabbos. And then at the end of the daf, before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about wrapping yourself in some type of felt material and walking outside that way on Shabbos, whether that's considered to be a beged that a person is wearing, or do we know we consider it to be not a beged, but we consider it to be a masui that a person is carrying. So let's begin again about 12 lines from the end of the page. We are at Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we had just said that as far as dealing with the question of why it is that the birds are so much fatter in Bavel, so the answer was, and this is what we finished off with before Tisha B'Av, is because the Babylonian birds never had to go into Galus. And when you go into Galus, you lose something. So we thought that was an appropriate way to end right before Tisha B'Av, and that makes the following line an even more appropriate way to begin after Tisha B'Av. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Kulan Chazru. Everything, all the Balei Chayim that had to go into Golus, into Bavel, they all went back to Eretz Yisrael. They all went back. Okay, we have an exception. Chutz Mikul Yosei Espanin. Except for the Kul Yosei Espanin, that didn't make its way back into Eretz Yisrael. Why not? To Am Rav Hani, and by the way, the only reason we're talking about this whole Agadah is because of the Kul Yosei Espanin. That was one of the Kalei Abishal that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So why didn't the Kul Yosei Espanin make their way back into Eretz Israel? Hani Madri de Bavel, the depths, the water of the depths of Bavel, Mahadri Mayalei Neitam. They go through passageways, narrow passageways to Ein Etam, and the fish that went down into Bavel have to, you know, be taken along with that water, with the flow of water back to Eretz Israel. Vahai, but this Kul Yosei Espanin, Kivin de Lo Shara Shidre, since it doesn't have a straight spine, it doesn't have a strong spine, Lo Matzi Salik, is not able to go through those narrow passageways, through those mechilos, through those tunnels into Eretz Yisrael, so the fish simply don't have the capacity to make it all the way back. As far as the second question, says Rabbi Yochanan, "Mipnei ma moadim shebavel smechim? Why are the moadim in Bavel so joyous as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, where it doesn't seem that people take such great joy in the moadim? Mipnei shelo hayu ba'ol saklala, because they were not included, and the people in Bavel were not included in the klala that was given to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the chsiv, because it says in the Sefer Hosea, Vishbati kol misosa, chago chodsha vishabata vikol moada, uksiv chachecha moadechem, son of nafshi, hayu alai l'torach, that the moadim are going to be a burden, they're going to be burdensome on the people. So that was the klala. So my hayu alai l'torach, what does it mean that they were alai l'torach? Amar Ablazar, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo dain liyisrael shechotin lefanai, meaning not a burden on us, a burden on Hashem, that not only are the people sitting in front of me, says Hashem, elishamatrichin osi, they're Matriach me, Leida, Ezo Gzeira Kashi, Avi Alein, to figure out which type of difficult Gzeira I should bring onto them. So that's considered a Tircha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the joy, the extra joy of the Yom Tovim was something that was a specific curse that we suffered in Eretz Yisrael, but in Bavel, we have the joy of the Yom Tovim. Now, it's interesting, when it comes to weekdays, we assume there's greater joy in Eretz Yisrael, right? That's how the Poskim try to explain the unusual minhag that Ashkenazim have, that we do not do Birchas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz. It's an unusual minhag because it's a mitzvah d'araisa to do Birchas Kohanim, and it's not a mitzvah tzliya ba'aretz, a mechi tesi, that you wouldn't do it every day in Chutz La'aretz. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, I think in the times of the Gra, they tried it in one shul, they wanted to reinstitute it, and that day the shul burnt down, so they said, okay, you know what, maybe Simon Minhag Shemayim. We shouldn't be trying new things. But it's an unusual minhag. So where does it come from? So one of the suggestions that the Achronim have is that people don't feel the same sense of simcha in Chutzlar. It's like the Torah HaParnasa or whatever it is that causes people to be distracted and not feel the same sense of simcha in Galus as they do in Eretz Yisrael. And Birch Kohanim has to come with a certain level of Yeshiva Das and of Simcha. So we save it for Yom Tovim. But now with this Gemara, it even gives more color to it, that Dafka our Yom Tovim are even more joyous than typical Yom Tovim. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel, shelo basa boleshes l'tzipori. There's no yontif where troops of the king don't come into Tzipori. V'amar Rabbi Chanina, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel, shelo bal l'tveria, agmon v'kamton bal zemora. That there are all different types of officers that are coming through into Tveria every single yontif. And that's all because of that klala that the Navi gave, that there's going to be suffering around the times of the Yom Tovim. And as far as the next question, why are the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel so well dressed? So the reason is not what you answered at first, because they're not B'nai Torah, and because they're not Talmidei Chachamim, they have to dress nicely in order to earn people's respect. No! L'fishen B'nai Mekoman, it's because they really belong in Eretz Yisrael, and they're in Galus when they're in Bavel. And when someone goes to a foreign place, he has to dress the part in order that, because they don't know him, they don't know that he's deserving of honor, so he has to wear the uniform in order to receive that honor. That in my place, my shame is good enough. My name will honor me because everyone knows my name. Everyone knows who I am. But Belomasa, when I'm not in my place, Tosvai, then my begadim have to be mechabed me. I need to rely on my begadim to give me the proper kavod. Haboim Yashish Yaakov Yatsu Farach Yisrael, the Pasuk says in Shayahu, Tani Rav Yosef, Eilu Tamir Chacham Shem Bavel, Shosin Tzitin Ufrachim Latorah. There's a reference to Tamir Chachamim in Bavel that make Tzitin Ufrachim. They make the Torah so flowery. So Mipnei Ma Ovdei Chachamim Mizuham. And as far as the other question, why are the Ovdei Chachamim so Mizuham, that they're smelly or they're diseased or something like that? Shalo Amdil Har Sinai. It's because they didn't stand by Har Sinai. Sheba Nachash Al Chava. Because when the Nachash came to Chava, Hitel Bazuama. The Nachash applied its Zuama to Chava. Yisrael Shamdal Har Sinai Paska Zuamasan. So Klal Yisrael that went through that transformative experience of Har Sinai, they were Paska Zuamasan. But of the Chavim Shalomdal Har Sinai, Lo Paska Zuamasan. The of the Chavim that didn't have the Har Sinai experience, so their Zuama didn't leave them. The Ravid writes in the Tshuva that, notice the Lashon, the Gemara, it wasn't Yisrael Shekiblu Asatara Paska Zuamasan. Yisrael Shamdu Al Har Sinai Paska Zuamasan. Apparently, even the Amida Bar Sinai was enough to get rid of the Zuama. And that's one of the famous answers to the question of why is it that in the Dayenu we say that Ilu Kirvanu Lefnei Har Sinai V'lanasan Lanu Asatara Dayenu. What value is Kirvanu Lefnei Har Sinai if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't subsequently give us the Torah? Well, here we see what value it is. That Zuama, however you translate that word, that distasteful element of our personalities goes away just by being at Har Sinai, by standing on a Makom Kadosh, even though we didn't receive the Torah. We spoke about that a little bit this morning, this idea of just being in a Makom Kadosh having a profound impact on a person. So Amalei Ravacha Bred Rav Ravashi Geirim Mai, but what are you going to tie now about Geirim? Meaning, we assume that Geirei Tzedek are wonderful and holy people, so where did their Zuama go away from? They weren't at Har Sinai, their ancestors weren't at Har Sinai. So Amalei Avgav De'inu Lohavu Mazalai Lohavu. They weren't there, but their mazel was there. And that's good enough to get rid of the Zuama. That who is at Har Sinai? Those who are here and those that are not here. And who is those who are not here? So we always refer, we always use that colloquially to refer to people who are already deceased, people who are in the Olam HaEmes. So we say, Asher Einenu Po. Says the Gemara, no, it means those who are not yet part of the clan, those who will one day be destined to become Geirim, so they're also included. And that's where the Zuama left from the Geirim. Upligid Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. And this idea that Rabbi Yochanan said, that the Zuama of the Bnei Yisrael didn't go away until Maimon Har Sinai is against the teaching of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Damar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana ad shlosha doros los paska zuama me'avosenu, that it took three generations for the zuama to leave our forefathers, meaning Avram came from a bad yichus, meaning he came from a family of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so it took a while to work through that. So Avram still had a little bit of zuama, and that's why he had a Yishmael, and Yitzchak still had a little bit of zuama, and that's why he had an Esav, and it took until Yaakov to have mitaso shlema, to have 12 shifte. So that Avram hold it as Yishmael, Yitzchak hold it as Esav, Yaakov hold it Shneimasar Shvatim, Shaloya ben Shum Dofi, and by the Shneimasar Shvatim there was no one of questionable character among the 12 Shvatim. So we see that it was way before Maimon Har Sinai that the Zuama was already gone, and that's why it's in disagreement. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Achmar Yaakov are in disagreement as far as how long it took the Zuama to go. So you would think that this Gemara has absolutely nothing to do with anything Halacha Lamaisa. Zuama, it doesn't sound like a real halachic concept. Nevertheless, there is a tshuva in Neid B'Yehuda, Madurakama, Yerodea Simon Samach Tes, where he was asked about someone who had set up a shidduch with somebody, and they were engaged to get married, and then the Avi Hakala converted, was a Geshmat, he converted out of the religion, the grandfather of the Kala. So the Bachar says, I'm being Mevatel the shidduch. I don't want to marry the granddaughter of someone who just converted to another religion, and his basis of saying so was the Tshuvas HaRash. The Tshuvas HaRash in Klal Lamed Daled has a case where Reuven was Meshadich his daughter to the son of Shimon, and they set a date for the chuppah, and they made it tonight that anyone who's Mevatel the Shidduch is going to have to pay a certain penalty. And before the time of the chuppah came, Reuven's daughter, the sister of the Meshudeches, was Kofer Be'ikr. She also went off the path and decided she doesn't believe in God anymore. So because of that pagam, Shimon says, I don't want to bring my son into such a shidduch where the sister of the Meshudeches is someone who doesn't believe. So Reuven said, okay, you want to be mevatel the shidduch, fine, but pay up. And Shimon said, no, I don't have to pay up. The pay up was only if you're mevatel the shidduch for no reason, but I'm being mevatel the shidduch for a very good reason. So the Rush writes over there, hadinim Shimon, that Shimon is correct, that even though they didn't explicitly say a Tanai at the time of the making of the Kana, when they made the Kanas, but such an onus happened, we could rest assured that had he known about this, he never would have been Meshadeich son in the first place. So it's as if they made it tonight at the time that he's Mechayev himself in the penalty, that it's only if everything stays status quo. But if a close relative goes and is kofar be'ikr, then of course he could be mevatel the shidduch without a penalty. So the Shoel and the Nodeb Yudah said, I have a good precedent right there in the Tshuvas HaRash. I could be mevatel the shidduch. So the Shoel had many tainas against that, where he said that maybe the chassan has to keep the shidduch in the case of the zayda, because and one of the tainas is that the Rush was talking about a sister of the Meshudeches. But this case that the Nadi Yehuda was dealing with was a grandfather. And maybe that's an entirely different story. Maybe a grandfather is another two generations removed. The sister is the same generation, grew up in the same house, probably had the same influences. The grandfather is totally removed. So the Nadi Yehuda says, no. He says, Chas v'sholem to call the Hashchasas Nachla that's going to happen to a child, it's Karav Shur Rasha. The main reason of the Rush is not because of that, it's because a person is should always be nidbak betovim, should always connect themselves to people who are good and on the right path. And the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Moshe Rabbeinu married Bas Yisro Yatzim Menu Yehonasan, and if the sister of the Meshudeches was Meshumad der Choshesh, that the Kilkel came from her father's, from her family that were Mekulkel, and therefore were Choshesh, that the Meshudeches herself maybe has some sort of problems. So if the Rosh was worried about that by the Achos Ha'em, by the sister, where we don't find Mefurish anywhere that the Maisa of the sister is going to have any impact on the other sister, Al Achas Kama Vakama, that we should be Choshesh in such a case of Avi Avi Akala, because the Gemara tells us right here that Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says that it takes three Doros for the Zuama to stop Me'avosenu. So if the Zuama goes up in the generations, then you have to worry that the Zuama is still there. So these are this is that was the Tshuva of the Nadi B'Yudah. Of course, Rav Moshe has a famous Tshuva where someone asked him that they were dating a girl. A guy was dating a girl who was a balas tshuva, and he said, the fellow said, I know that that a bas nida is assumed to have problems, assumed to be at risk of having flaws in midos. So should I not marry her? Because if she's a balas tshuva, then she must be a bas nida. So Rav Moshe kedarko bakodesh. Rav Moshe said that if she has all these beautiful midos that you're describing, then obviously she's not a bas nida. Then obviously her mother must have gone to the beach or something, and the ocean counted as a mikveh and was metayer her. The Stipler had a different answer. The Stipler said, no, adraba, if in spite of everything she was up against, she's still such a wonderful person, then you know that she's really good. Then you know that that's a keeper, that she became who she became, despite the fact that she had so much working against her. Okay, says the Mishnah now. New Mishnah, now we get back into halacha. Shovra adam es hachav, is a person could break open a barrel with a knife, with a sword or something, make a hole in the barrel, lechaleim on a grogros, in order to eat the dried figs from the barrel. And the reason that that you're allowed to do that is because it's only mekalkel, and there's no iser when you're being mekalkel. That's how Rashi explains. Rashi seems to say breaking a barrel is considered a malach of soser, and the heter that we have over here is that it's mekalkel. So the Ran asks on Rashi, wait a second, mekalkel shouldn't make it mutter, mekalkel is potter avalaser. So the fact that it's mekalkel should not make it mutter, the fact that it's a destructive act. So the Ran explains that Rashi means that midrabanan it's aser, but the tzorach Shabbos were matir it, because it provides a major tzorach for Shabbos, that you're going to be able to access the food for Shabbos. Hey, nachinami, mekalkel is potter avalaser, and this is mekalkel, and it should have been potter avalaser, but it's a tzorach Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be mutter. That's how the Ran understands Rashi. So the Chaznish asks, on the Ran, that Shitas Rashi is that there's no malacha at all of Binyan Vestira Bekalim. Shitas Rashi throughout Shas is that Ein Binyan Vestira Bekalim means Bechlel, that there can't be an Isra of Binyan Vestira Bekalim. The Ran's assumption that it's Pater Avalasar is that it is a malacha of Soser, but it's Mekalkel, and therefore it's Pater Avalasar, but it's Lutzarach Shabbos, and therefore it's Mutter. But there shouldn't be Binyan Vestira Bekalim to begin with. So it's difficult to understand. And the Ran's explanation of Rashi, why would an Isra Drabbanan not to break a Chavis, Shalom Lutzarach Shabbos, why would there be such an Isra Drabbanan? There's no malacha of Soser at all. So the Chaznish says that when Rashi says that it's mekalkel, he means that it's that when you break a barrel, that looks like the malacha of soser. So had it not been for the need for the grogros, it would be usher to break a barrel on Shabbos. The Ran, however, himself disagrees with Rashi. He says the heter to break the barrel open is not because of mekalkel. It's because we're talking about a very tiny kli that does not hold 40 sa'ah, and such a kli, there's no binyan vestira bekalim. This is Ran l'shitaso, that the rule of ein binyan vestira bekalim is not by any kli. It's by smaller kelim, very large kelim. There is such a din of binyan vestira. So that's the reason that it's not us over here. We're talking about the type of kli that doesn't have a din of binyan vestira. Tosos has also a similar mahalich that we're dafka talking about the type of kli that doesn't have binyan vestira. So again, the Mishnah said you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to eat the grogros from inside of it. Heter gomer, you don't have to worry about it. And Rashi explains because you're being mekalkel. Ubelvad shaliskavin lasos kli. As long as you don't make a hole in the barrel with the intention of making a nice opening, fashioning a nice opening where it's now going to be a usable kli. Ve'in nokvin magufa shel chavis. You're not allowed to puncture a hole in the covering of a barrel that has wine in it in order to access the wine through that hole, because that's also being mesakin a Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Of Chum Matir and the Chum say, nah, no one makes a Pesach to a Chavis by making a hole in the seal of the barrel. V'lo yikvena mitzida, and you're not allowed to make a hole in the side, and the Gemara is going to explain whether that means the side of the covering of the barrel or the side of the barrel and what the Yisr would be. V'im haisa nekuva, but if the barrel already had a hole in it, lo yitin ala shava, you're not allowed to rub some wax on it in the place of the hole to close up the hole, mimreishu mimareach, because that's a violation of mimareach, which is a tolda of mimachik, to take a pliable substance and smooth it out over an area that's like putting on cream on your skin or something, that we generally assume is a violation of the malacha of mimareach. We spoke about how that applies to toothpaste, does or doesn't apply to toothpaste. Rav Moshe and Rav Zalman held that it's a violation of mimareach to smooth out toothpaste over one's teeth. Rav Vadya Yosef and and Rav Salvechik held not that way. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Bal Lefnei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Be'erev. There was one time a Maisa that came in a place called Erev in front of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, where a person closed off a barrel with wax. Va'amar Choshashni Lo Michatos. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm worried that the guy violated an Issa Darais. He's going to have to bring a Karban Chatos. He violated the Melach of Memachik, or the Told of Memachik, called Memareach. So now the Gemara discusses moving a knife in order to open up a barrel, because the Mishnah said you're allowed to take a knife to open up a barrel. So a barrel of figs. So Amra Boshia Lo Shanu Ella Drusos. This idea that you're allowed to be metaltel a knife in order to open up the barrel is only if the figs are very closely packed in together. Because when you're cutting open the barrel, you're also going to cut apart some of the figs. So you're allowed to do that. Since anyway you need the knife to cut the figs, which for sure you're allowed to do on Shabbos, so you're allowed to use the knife to cut the barrel as well. Aval Neforados. But if the figs anyway aren't connected to each other, so there's no need to cut them, they're already pre-sliced, then no, then you're not allowed to take a knife just to break open the barrel, because a kli is only nital letash misham yucha, though. You can only take a kli if you want to use it for what it's designated to be used for, and most knives are designated to cut food with, they're not designated to just cut open barrels with. So if your sole purpose in moving the knife is to cut open a barrel, that's not okay. So mefrado slow, says Gmar, but wait, if the figs don't need any cutting, so you're not allowed to be metalt of the knife, may Sveil challenge you from a braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe Adam is a chavish al yayin, umat his rosh, a besayif, a menichel, a v'nei orchim, a shabbis, v'ein a choshesh. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, a person can bring a barrel of wine and cut off with a knife, cut the top of the barrel off, and put it in front of the guests on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry that you violated tikkun kli by making an opening to the barrel. But okay, he's talking about not violating tikkun kli, but he's assuming that there's no problem with using the knife to break open the barrel. Aye, but I thought you said you're not allowed to be metaltel the knife just for the sole purpose of breaking open a barrel. Hahi Rabbanan, Masnisin Rabbi Nechemi, says Gemara, the Braisa is assuming like the Rabbanan that hold you're allowed to be metaltel a kli shelo letzorech tashmisha miyuchado when it's not for its primary purpose. But our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Nechemia, who holds that you're not allowed to be metaltel a kli when it's not to the tzorech miyuchado, when it's not for its primary purpose, like cutting food. Umay dochid Rabbi Yoshi, look me masnisin. Meaning our Mishnah just said you're allowed to do it. Our Mishnah didn't give any further information. So we had two options of how to interpret the Mishnah. We could say the Mishnah is assuming like everybody. The Mishnah goes with all the Tanaim, all the Shitos agree to what the Mishnah says. And we're talking about figs that need to be cut anyway. So everyone would agree you're allowed to be metaltel a knife, either because you're stam allowed to be metaltel a knife, or because you're being metaltel it for the figs anyway. So everyone agrees that it would be okay. Or the other way to interpret our Mishnah is, no, our Mishnah doesn't assume like everybody. It only assumes like the Shita that you're allowed to be metaltel a knife when you're otherwise using it, l'tzorech hamiyuchado, and therefore we need to make a new kimta that the Mishnah is talking about, where there are drusos, where there are closely packed together and they need to be cut. Why would you do that, though? Why would you lock in the Mishnah to one day when the Mishnah could be assuming like everybody? So says Gemara, Lukma bim farados v'rabanan. Just say it's talking about figs that are already cut apart, and we're assuming like the Rabbanan that you're allowed to be metalt of the knife. Some Rav Masnis and Kashi say no, because the problem was the Mishnah itself. Ma'ir yadatani grogros listening peros. Why, of all fruits to give, dried figs? That's going to be the fruit that you give an example of? So I don't know, in Shas, I think dried figs are pretty common, but I guess even they would say, you know, if you're going to talk about a fruit basket, you're not going to talk about dried figs. You would think you would talk about other peros. The fact that we talk about dried figs is or figs is that when they get all sticky and gooey and juicy, and they stick together. So it must be that's why we gave that example of Shemamina Bedrusos. So it must be that the Mishnah's Dafka talking about when they are stuck together, and you're going to need a knife to cut them apart from each other. Okay, the Gemara now is going to discuss a contradiction between two braises as far as using a knife when it's not for its primary purpose. Tanya Chada, we have one braise that says chosolos. If you have baskets that are made out of palm leaves, shel grogros v'shel tamarin, and the inside those baskets you have dried figs, you have figs or dates that are in the baskets in order to ripen. Apparently, they will put them in these baskets in order to ripen, and they would cover these baskets with a cover and tie them shut, and now you want to access it and you want to eat the contents of the basket on Shabbos. So Matir, you're allowed to untie the knot that's on the cover, umafkia, or you could just destroy the whole winding of the rope, v'chotech, or you could just cut the rope with the knife. Even though you're being metaltel the knife, not for the tashmash miyuchad, not for what it's designated to be used for. V'tani idach, and yet we have another brisa that says matir, you could untie it, avlo mafkia avlo chotech, but don't use a knife to undo the rope that's keeping this basket closed. Apparently, because you're not allowed to use a knife for something that's not the tashmash miyuchad, for something that's only about cutting open a container and is not about cutting food. So it's a steer between these two brises. Lokasha harabanan harabi nechemia. This too is the machlokas rabbanan and rabbi nechemia. One brisa follows the rabbanan, the other rabbi nechemia. Detanya rabbi nechemia omer afilu tavr afilu talis afilu sakin eini talin el tzarich tashmish. And the rabbi nechemia holds all sorts of kelim can only be moved if you're doing it litzarech tashmishan. So now the Gemara discusses making a hole in the wall of a barrel by stabbing the side of the barrel to make a hole in the side of the barrel. So it says Marboy Mir of Sheshes, Mau Limivras Chavisa Bikurtia Bishabata. Are you allowed to stab a spear into the wall of a barrel on the side in order to make a hole? So what's the issue? Lepischa Kamichavin Va'asir. Do we assume you're trying to make a nice opening, and when you fashion a nice opening, that's going to be us? Or maybe your intention is to widen out the ability to be marchiv to widen the area where the wine comes out with a bigger hole, and that's going to be mutter. No, you're trying to fashion a proper hole, and that's going to be asr to do. So maybe Adam Chavishol Yainu Matiz Rosh Abasayif. The Rav Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah, you're allowed to chop off the top of the barrel with a sword, so why would stabbing the side of the barrel be aser? So hasam vadelayin yafu kamachavi. No, because when you cut off the top with a sword, then for sure your intention is to facilitate the wine coming out. You're affecting you're not removing the covering. You're cutting open the covering. But hacha, but when you stab the side of the barrel, im isa de la'ayin yafaka mechavin, if your intention was really to widen your access to the wine, liftuche miftach, then the better way to do that would have just been to take the covering off. So the fact that you didn't touch the covering and you just made a hole in the side of the barrel shows us that you're interested in making a Pesach and fashioning a proper Pesach, and that's going to be aser. Okay, now we had a machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah about making a hole in the magufa sachavis, in the covering of the barrel. Say nokfin b'magufa. That was Rabbi Yudas Shita, but the Chum said you're allowed to make a nekev in magufa. So amir afruna machlokas l'mayla. The whole machlokas is only when you make the nekev on the top in order to draw the wine out from there, that according to Rav Yehuda it's aser because you're making a Pesach, and according to the Chum it's mutter because it's not the derech to make a Pesach in a barrel by making a hole in the magufa at the top. The way you would do it is to remove the entire top, and therefore you're not going to be mechayev him for making a Pesach. So when it's tzarech hayayin, it's even heter gamur. Avul min hatzad divrei kol aser, but to make a hole on the side, that's for sure going to be aser because sometimes that is the derech to make a hole on the on the side of the magufa, and not to remove it entirely, in order that the top is still protected. Meaning, if dirt or something were to land on the barrel, it would still protect the contents of the barrel. So sometimes people don't want to expose the entire top of the barrel because things could land in and ruin the wine. So you dafka want to make the opening on the side so you can access the contents without risking the rest of the contents. And that's why the Mishnah says don't make the hole on the side. Meaning, according to everybody, you're not allowed to be nokev betzida. Rav Chista Amar Machlokas min hatzad. Rav Chista says, no. The case of the Machlokas, where they argue about in the Mishnah, is where you're making the neck of min hatzad. Aval agaba, divrei kol mutter. If you're making the hole on the top, everyone's going to hold its mutter. That's not the derech to make a Pesach on the top. V'adik tani lo yikvenem betzida hasam begufa techavis. And when the Mishnah says lo yikvenem betzida, that's talking about when in the actual barrel itself, that in the barrel itself, that l'kol adeos, you're not allowed to make a neck of betzida. But if you're making a nekev on the side of the magufa, on the side of the covering of the barrel, that's where we have, in fact, a machlokas. Okay, so now we're making a hole in a kli on Shabbos and widening an opening on Shabbos, and opening an opening on Shabbos. So we're going to have a brayso that discusses all of these in Yanim. Tan Rabbanan. So, Ein Nokvin Nekev Chadash B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a new hole in a Kli on Shabbos. V'im Bala Hosif. But if you already had a hole and you're just coming to widen it, to broaden it, Mosif, that's okay. V'yesh Omrim Ein Mosifin. And then there's another sheet that says you're not even allowed to widen an existing hole. V'shavin Shenokvin Nekev Yashan L'Chadchila. And everyone agrees that you're allowed to make repuncture an old hole that has been closed up lechatchila, because the fact that it has been closed up is not mevatel the original status of a nekev. So if there's a hole but somehow it just got patched up, you can open it up again. That for sure you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, "V'tanakama ma'ishna minekev chadash to Well, according to the Tanakama, that allows you to broaden an old nekev. Why is it that you're not allowed to make a new hole to come a second? Pischa. It must be because you're making a Pesach to the Kli. Well, a Sufinami comes a second Pischa. When you're broadening the Nekev, you're also making a Pesach to the Kli. So shouldn't that also be a told of Makabepata? Shouldn't that be Osir as well? Says Mar Amirah, but Dvar Torah called Pesach Sheinu Osir Lachmus Lo Tzieinu Pesach. On the Daraisa level, any Pesach that's not made to take things in and take things out is not considered a Pesach, and you're not chayiv for making it. V'Rabbanan u deGozer. It's only a Gezeira Midrabbanan, that when you make the kind of hole that only is meant to pour things out from, but not to put things into, that's only Gzeira Midrabanan. So Mishum Lul Shaltarna Golden, because we're afraid that people might come to make a hole in a chicken coop and they'll violate Nisadar Raisa. Davilu Yule Avir La Fuke Havla, because people don't realize when you make a hole in a chicken coop, it's a Pesach Lahachnis Ulahotzi. The reason people don't realize that is because the stuff that goes in and out is not visible by a chicken coop. It's meant to be machnis avir, so that the chickens can breathe, and to be motzi the hevel. Hevel means like a thick air that they have there. But so whatever's going in, and whatever, you know, the smell, it gets smelly in a chicken coop. So whatever's going in and going out is not so obviously visible. So people don't, the chickens would all die if they don't make holes that for both reasons. If they don't get fresh air, and if there's stuff stuck with all the smell, with the smell that would naturally be there from the chicken coop. So it's both lahachnis ulahotzi, but people, it may not be so evident to people that it's both lahachnis ulahotzi. So if we allow you to make a nekev in a kli, even though it's only a one-way nekev, we're afraid that people might make a nekev in a chicken coop as well. V'imbala hosif, but if there's already a nekev there and you're just trying to add to it, mosif, then you're allowed to do that, because then because you don't have to worry that someone's going to come to do that with a little Shaltar Nagolin. Meaning, apparently, they were pretty because of a chashash that shrutzim are going to get in and they're going to ruin the whole chicken coop. Meaning, there are standard size holes for chicken coops. So, if you already have holes in a chicken coop, no one's going to come to broaden the holes of a chicken coop. It's going to just ruin it, because then it's going to leave the chickens vulnerable to being attacked. And then the bride added that some say you're not even allowed to broaden an existing hole. Why? Because even by Lul Shatar Nagolim, you're right, there are standard size holes, but maybe those holes that they made in the chicken coop are too small, and now they need to broaden them to make them the right size, and then it's going to be a violation of making a nekev lahachnes ulahotzi. So Darsh of Nachum Mishum Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki yesh omrim, that we paskin like the yesh omrim. Now these sugyas are obviously the major sugyas here in Maseches Beitza about opening cans and bottles and cartons and all of these things on Shabbos. I was once talking to Rav Schechter about it, and he said, I don't have a good understanding of these sugyas. I don't, which is his way of saying that he's machmir in everything. soda bottles and milk cartons, everything. He thinks everything is an asiyas Pesach. So sometimes he doesn't want to, you know, impose his view on everybody. I don't understand these sugyas so well. So just know, if you ever have the Schechters over to your house, open up all the soda bottles before Shabbos. Okay, so there's a so says the Gemara Vayter, v'shavin shenok v'nekav yashan. The Braisa says everyone agrees that if there's an old hole that was patched up, so you're allowed to remake that hole lechadchila. The braisa about the neck of yashan that gets closed up is only when the reason it was closed up was to be was to guard it, that the aroma of the wine should not escape through that nekev, because that would ruin the wine. So it's not really like a firm closing. It's just something to sort of cover it, you know, in the interim. sick. But if the closing of that hole is made to strengthen the kli, then you're not allowed to remake the hole. Also, that's going to be also to open up such a hole, because that's considered like a brand new hole. Meaning at a certain point, a patch is so strong, is so good, that when you open it up, it's as if you're making a brand new hole. It's as if you're making it meikara. So if you're just trying to block off the smell from escaping, what do you need to block off the smell from escaping? Saran wrap, right? So it doesn't take much to block off the smell from escaping. So then it's not such a good patch. Then opening it up is not making a brand new opening. But if you're really trying to keep the barrel intact, so that's a serious patch. So what would be an example when a stimas hanekev is made to just protect the aroma of the wine, and when do we assume it's made to be mechazik the kli? So Amar Rav Chista, lemala min hayayin, if the hole is made above the level of the wine, on the wall of the barrel above the surface of where the wine is, zeh l'shamer, then you know it's just about the reach. But lemata min hayayin, zeh l'chazik. But if where the hole is and it's been patched up, it's where the wine is it's across from where the wine is in the barrel, meaning if that were to be punctured, all the wine would come spilling out, then it's l'chazik. Then you know that it's to be mechazik the barrel. That is Rav Chista's understanding of the difference between l'shamer and l'chazik. Rava Amar, lemata min hayayin, zeh nami l'shamer. No, even if it's below the wine level, it's still l'shamer. It's also just to protect the wine in the barrel. And that's not called to fix the barrel, it's just to protect the wine. You're right, it's going to spill out if the seal isn't there, but that's called l'shamer. What's called the chazik? If all the way on the bottom, below the sediment, you make a stima in the kli, and that's where the full weight of the wine is pushing down on that part of the barrel, so that's where it's l'chazik. That's when we assume it's to be mechazik the barrel. So I'm like, Abaye l'Rava, Abaye just comments to Rava, Tanya d'misayelach, we have a brisa that says like your interpretation, not like Rav Chista's interpretation. And what's the Tanya d'misayelach? Like your interpretation, Lav Davka, that we'll see. Bayis she'is sasum yeshlo arba amos, that there is a halacha in Maseches Bava Basra, in the first paragraph of Bava Basra, that if you have a number of people that all have houses that open up into the same chatzer, and they want to divide up the chatzer, and each person wants to have his rights in the chatzer, the area that he gets in the chatzer is going to depend on how many doorways he has that opens up into the chatzer. If you have two houses in a joint chatzer, and one house has two doorways, and the other house has four doorways, so when they come to be mechalik the chatzer, they come to divide up the chatzer, so first the first thing you do is for every Pesach, you get an area of Dalet Amos, and then the rest of the chatzer they could divide evenly. So the one who has four doorways is going to get four sets of four Amos, that's just his. And the one that has two doorways gets two sets of four Amos, that's just his. And then the remaining space gets divided evenly. But let's say one of the doorways is no longer in use. It's closed up. It's a door that's not usable anymore. But they kept the door frame. They just locked it. You get shilas like this in Hilchos Mezuzah all the time. You go visit someone's house to figure out where to put the mezuzahs, and they'll say, that garage door is bolted shut. But it looks like a garage door. It has a perfect suras HaPesach, but it can't be used. It will never be used. It's bolted shut. So what's the halacha? Is it still a suras HaPesach or not? So what we're quoting over here is this Bryce is telling us that even though it was sasum, it's been closed off and it's bolted shut and you're not going to use it anymore, it still has a din of a Pesach, and therefore it's still going to be entitled to four amos in the chatzer. The same by Hilchos Mezuzah. Paratz es petzimah, but once you take away the mezuzos and the mashkov, and you make it no longer look like a door, you make it look like it's been wall the whole time. Sometimes people will remove a door and they'll just build a wall along the side. Even though Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says you're not supposed to do that with windows, you're not supposed to close up windows and build a thing, but the Gemara didn't know about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So you close off the whole area. Say no arba amos. Then you don't get the four amos because then it's not a doorway anymore. By Yisasum, so if you have a house that has a mace in it, and there was a Pesach that was closed off, and they did not remove the actual doorposts and the lintel from the doorway, so then we assume it's still a Pesach. Say to Matame, Kol Svivav, it's not going to be Matarbe Arba Amos all around it. It only Keneged the Pesach is going to be Tame. But Parat says Petzimav, but once you build a structure over a grave that has no opening, and even the opening it used to have is completely gone right now, then Metame calls Svivav, then the whole thing has a din of a kever, and it's Metame, the four areas around the kever, right? We assume Midrabanan, the four amos near a kever, is also Metame. So that's why Kohen has to be careful not only not to go directly by a kever, but not to not directly on a kever, but even within dalet amos of a kever, a kohen has to be very careful not to go. Okay, I once had a shayla. Someone came to my house asking if I could do a levaya, a Jew who is not shomer Torah mitzvos, happens to live in the neighborhood, and he came to my house, said his mother-in-law passed away, and he's heartbroken, and he has no rabbi. Can you come do the levaya? So I said, sure, no problem. Who's going to be there? He said, him and his three sons and not that many people. And if I can help get a minion, I'd bring a few more people or something. So we got a minion together. And then I realized right before the levaya that the fellow's last name is Cohen. And it's a graveside service, and he wants to come to the funeral. And he's not going to understand. I'm not going to tell him, look, you're holier than me. You're not allowed to come. So it's a major issue. So we had to figure out if there was a way to keep him Dalet Amos away from the kever and no trees, and it's a very complicated issue. So anyway, so Gufsa. Let's say you have a straw, like a hollowed out reed. So Rav Asur Shmuel Shari. Rav says you're not allowed to stick it into a barrel on Shabbos, and Shmuel says you're allowed to stick it into a hole in a barrel on Shabbos. Mechatech lechatchila, to cut it down to size lechatchila, to kulam el pligid asur. Everyone's going to say that it's asur. Ahadure, in order to put it back, to kulam el pligid shari. Everyone's going to say it's mutter. Ki pligid dechaticha velo mitakna. The case is it's cut, but it wasn't put into that nekev, to that hole, and of Shabbos to see if it fits properly. So Mandi Yasser, the one that says you're not allowed to do it, because Rin Dunlasi L'michtach L'chachila, made a gzera that you might come to cut it down to size if you put it in. Mandi Shari Lo Gazrin, the one that says that it's mutter, doesn't make any such gzera. So Kitanai, we have a similar machlokas Tanayim. Ein Chotchen Shofaris B'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cut a straw on Yom Tov to draw wine out of a barrel. Vein Tzorich Lom B'Shabbos, and certainly not on Shabbos. Nafla, and if it already was made on Erev Shabbos, but it fell out, then Machsirin Osab Shabbos. You could even put it back on Shabbos, Vein Tzorich Lom B'Yom Tov, and certainly on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshia Mekel, and Rabbi Yoshia was Mekel. What does that mean? Rabbi Yoshia, Heya, which case is Rabbi Yoshia talking about? Ilema Aresha, if it's talking about in the din of the Resha that says you're not allowed to cut the straw on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, and that's where Rabbi Yoshia is Mekel, and he even allows you to cut it based on the size of the Nekev, Hakam Asakin Mana. How could he possibly allow that? That's a Tikkun Mana. Ela Asefa, it must be that it's going on the Seifa, and see, he holds that if it was put there from Erev Shabbos, and then it fell, that you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Well, that can't be because Tanakam and Nami Mishra Kashari. Tanakam also said that that's mutter to replace it. Must be that they're arguing about our case where it's been cut down to size previously, but it hasn't actually been placed in the barrel yet to actually test the size. So Mar Savar Gazrinan, Omar Savar Lo Gazrinan. Tanakam says we make a gezeira, and Rabbi Yoshia is Mekel and Yelza. You don't make such a gezeira. Darish of Shishu Bred Ravidi Mishred Rabbi Yochanan Lachak Rabbi Yoshia. We paskin like Rabbi Yoshia. We said if the barrel had a hole, you're not allowed to put wax to patch up the hole. So Mishcha, to take a thick oil, Rav Asur, Rav says also violation of Mimareich, Shmuel Shari Shmuel says Mutter. Mand Asur Gazrim Shem Shavet. It's not really Mimareich because it's not as thick as wax, but we make a Gzera, don't do it with thick oil either because you might come to do it with wax. So Mand Shari Lo Gazrim, the one that said it's Mutter, didn't make any such Gzera. Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Bachana, Rav Yosef Beferis, Amar Lam Nishmei the Rav Mishcha Shari, that it was Beferis that Rav said that using oil is Mutter. So weiter in the Gemara. Amar Tavos Rishba, Tavos, who was a bird trapper, said, Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, Hai Tarfa Da Asa, a leaf of a Hadas Asa. You're not allowed to put it in a hole of a barrel on Shabbos in order to use it as like a makeshift spout. My time out, Rav Yemen, Rav Yemen, Gzeri Mishamarzev, because we're afraid you're going to make a real spout. Rav Ashi, Amar Gzeri, Shami Yikdom. No, we're afraid you're going to cut it down and fashion it to size. My Benayu, what's Nafkamina, what the reason is that it's Asa? Ik Benayu, the Katamu Manchi. Kamina would be if it's already cut down to size. So if Yemer is choshesh that you might make an actual spout, would still say asur. But if the old concern is that you might cut it down to size, there's no concern over here. And now the last sugya, base sadia. If you have some type of felt material, Rav asur. Rav says you're not allowed to wrap it around your body and go out like that on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. Ushmol shari, and Shmuel says mutter. So bir rakin, when it comes to a soft material, duklam lo pligi d'shari. Soft material is clothing. Everyone holds that's mutter. It's not carrying. Big cushion, if it's particularly hard to clean out, el pligi di aser. Everyone holds that's a masoi, that's for sure aser to carry out on Shabbos. Ki pligi bimitzai. What if it's not so hard, not so soft? So mandi aser, Ravu said that it's aser, mechsi kemasoi, holds that it looks like it's not a malbush, but a burden. Umandashari lo mechsi kemasoi. And the one that says that it's mutter thinks that it doesn't look like a burden. Vahad de Rav lav beferish itmar elemechlala itmar. And Rav's statement was not said beferish, it was only derived based on a maisa that happened. What happened? The Rav Iklaluhu Asra, Rav went to a certain place, Dolavale Ravcha, where they didn't have enough place for the Talmidim to sit on Shabbos to learn. So Nafik Yasub Carmelis. So they went out and they sat in a Carmelis. Isolay Beisadya, they brought these types of felt material that's not too hard, not too soft, and they carried it out, Derek Malbush, in order that they should have what to sit on. Lo Yosef, and he wouldn't sit on them. So Man de Chaza, Savrimishum de Beisadya Asr. So the person that saw Rav refused to sit on them on Shabbos assumed that Rav held that it was an Isser to carry it out into a Carmelis, even Derek Malbush, because it's near a Kamasui, it looks like a burden, and that's why that they went around teaching that Rav holds that it's a Masui, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to wrap yourself in it, Velohi. But they just misunderstood what Rav was doing. The Rav Achruze Machriz Beisad Yashari. Rav used to announce all the time that this is totally mutter. Umishum Kavod Rav Haseinu Lo Yashav Alav. But it's because of the cover of the Rabbanim that were there, that we would have been forced to sit on the karka while he's sitting on this nice chair. He couldn't handle that. He couldn't take such kavod while the other people were sitting on the ground. Uman ninu, who were these Rabbi Senu, who he was so choshesh about their kavod? Rav Kana Ravasi. By the way, Rav Kana Ravasi were talmidim of Rav, but they were talmidei chaver. At least in his estimation, they certainly were, and therefore he wanted to be mechabid them, so he didn't think it was proper that he was going to sit on a comfortable chair. So a lot of times, people interpret the behavior of tzaddikim, and they think they understand the behavior. It's always good to get clarity. Say, why did you do that exactly? So Rav would have explained, not because it's aser to carry, but because of it's an even a beautiful lesson about the kavod that he has, even for his own talmidim. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow morning, 6:15 sharp, we'll pick up at the Mishnah, Bez Hashem. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good night.
Thank you.